You're listening to episode 299 of Women Worldwide. What makes a leader stand out today? Do you have a formula that propels you forward? I've got a guest who will share her leadership formula with you, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for being here, for tuning in, and helping to grow the Women Worldwide Network. We really appreciate your support. And as you're sharing, not only are you sharing the incredible stories and the advice of our guests, you're also letting us know how you feel. And that helps us to bring the guests with the motivation, the inspiration, and the advice to help you. So let's get right to today's show. Topic and special guest. The topic is leadership and how do you stand out today with everything that's going on in an organization? What are those skills and competencies that you need? So whether you are in corporate America, you're at a nonprofit, you're at a small business and you're a leader, what is your leadership formula? Well, I've got a guest today who's going to share her formula. I'm really excited about it. Joining me on the show is Daphne Turpin Forbes. Now, Daphne is a lawyer, and she's also Assistant General Counsel at Microsoft. At the same time, she's a faculty member at the Executive Institute on Inclusion, EII, with a couple of courses on leadership and DEI. And she also advocates for DEI within Microsoft with her legal team. I could say so much about Daphne, but I think it's time she shares her journey and advice with you. Daphne, it's so great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you, Deirdre. Happy to be here. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Me too, because leadership in times like these, it's really, really important. And before we get to your formula, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about law and your interest in diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah, so real quick, you know, I decided that, you know, being a lawyer was right for me. A, it's an opportunity to help people. And that's one of the things that inspires me to work hard every day is that I get an opportunity to help people. And I had the absolute privilege of growing up with a grandfather who was a judge. And I spent a lot of time in my summer vacations hanging out with my grandfather in his courtroom. And I knew at a very early age that this was the thing for me. Then, you know, fast forward to the DEI work, right? I also, Deirdre, always knew that as an African-American woman, that my voice, my experiences should and could make a difference if I had an opportunity to be heard. So speaking up, it takes courage. I've always taken the opportunity to speak up, to right a wrong, or to just educate people because sometimes people are ignorant. They just don't get it. And what I know about Black women who advocate for opening doors for themselves, when we do the work to open the doors for ourselves that have otherwise been closed, we leave that door open for others to come through, especially women, all women. So inclusion at its finest and you know, anything that I can do to help advance that movement, I'm all for it.
Oh my God. Well, first of all, that's wonderful. Back on the note of your grandfather, what a role model. And now you, as the role model, helping to open the door for others. So kudos, and I applaud you and the work that you're doing. So Daphne, where are leaders getting it right today, and where are they missing the mark with their people?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let me focus on the today part, right? Because I think that for today, leaders are getting it right. And I think that it has a lot to do with the Black Lives Matter movement, right? It's a movement in the United States that has basically required leaders to start focusing on women, people of color, and other marginalized communities in ways that they probably haven't focused on it before, right? So the today part is great, but will their efforts to promote, to train, you know, persons who have been marginalized in corporate America or wherever you happen to work, will those pronouncements, those bold commitments to train up and to advance persons of color, will they just be a today thing or will they be sustainable? So I think they get it right because they are now making those bold statements and pronouncements and acting like they're going to do something.
Yes.
But again, it's not about what they say, it's what they do. So I'm hoping that this movement, if you will, is sustainable, that leaders are continuing their focus on diverse professionals, people of color, not only while it's trending or trendy, but
exactly
over the long run. So that's what I think they're getting it right. And where, Deirdre, I think leaders miss the mark is when they assume that treating women, especially in corporate America, as if we're a monolith, right? Mm-hmm. Because we are not.
No.
I think they get it wrong when they assume that all women's experiences in the workplace are the same because they are not. Women of color have a whole different experience than our white female counterparts. And I think that they get it wrong when they assume that these women initiatives, these leadership initiatives, all the things that they're doing to advance women, they get it wrong when they think that they're doing it for all women, because most of those initiatives and those programs are designed with our white female counterparts in mind, and we kind of get left on the side.
Right.
And lastly, you know, I think they miss the mark when they don't make intentional and bold statements and come up with a plan, whether it's succession planning, training, or whatever, that holds them accountable for improving those numbers. So, you know, there's a whole lot of progress that needs to be made. But again, right now, while it's trending and it's trendy, I think we're moving in the right direction. And honestly, I'm hopeful. I'm just going to be watching very closely for people to do what they say.
Yes, no, I think you make a great point. It's wonderful to see progress today, but how that plays out and continues, and it's not what you say. I mean, I'm in public relations, and we're always saying it's what you do, especially if you've made mistakes and you're trying to move forward the right way, then action will always speak louder than words. Daphne, you have your formula for leadership success.
I do.
Right? The four G's of leadership. Can you just share what those G's are?
Yeah, let me just put the caveat out there. It's a work in progress, but you know, so far I think I might be onto something. If nothing else, it gives me the confidence that I need to show up as the leader that I strive to be. So I call it the four G's, Deirdre, as you and I have discussed. And the four G's are leading with grace, grit, grind, and gratitude. Tastefully, I call it finding my G spot in leadership. Okay.
Yeah.
and it's a formula that I decided to embrace, if you will, because I started thinking about all the amazing women in my life who I have personal relationships with or who I admire from afar, whether they're, you know, a celebrity or an executive leader that I read about in the news or someone in government, right? And so it's really a hodgepodge of those traits for those women who I admire taking a little bit from her, a little bit from this one, a little bit from that one, and incorporating those traits into Daphne, developing my own tailor-made leadership style. Right. So, for example, the grit that is part of my four G's, I look at women like Nancy Pelosi, if you will, Margaret Thatcher, those women grit, right? The grace part, you know, Michelle Obama, first lady, former first lady in the United States, Michelle Obama, she leads with grace.
Oh, yes.
The grind, right? The grind, you know, is really all women, because I don't know a woman who has not had to grind in order to do what she does, whether it's taking care of children and also working and managing her household. Women grind and we get things done. And then honestly,
it almost comes naturally.
It is. It's right? It's a natural thing. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. And the gratitude part is, you know, just me being a faithful person, understanding that, you know, to whom much is given, much is required, and just being so grateful to be in, you know, the presence of people to try to help them however I can.
So do you think if a leader now looking at your four G's, grace, grit, grind, and gratitude, if they sort of feel like they're not where they need to be with grit, do you recommend looking at and studying some other women? How would you get there?
Yeah. So look, you have to, it's a journey. It's a process. Yeah. And first off, you have to commit to yourself, right? Women are always committing to their families, to other folks. And sometimes we forget about
putting ourselves last.
Ourselves last. So you got to find some time to really think about what kind of leader you want to be. Mm-hmm. Right. And so through self-study for me, I'm consumed right now with reading about all things that are leadership. Right. So I read a lot of books, and then taking some time to just breathe, to think and reflect about the kind of leader I want to be.
Yeah. Slow it down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's basically, Deidre, how I came up with my four G's. I just stopped. And I thought and I reflected. And your four G's might be three D's or might be five C's, whatever it is, that takes into account the kind of leader you want to be. But I caution everyone that when you're starting to develop your leadership style, that you always remember that humility needs to be in the formula somewhere. Because that's how you listen, you learn, and honestly, you're able to show up in ways that will help make change.
Right. The ego and the hubris.
Exactly.
Right. Out the door. Humility. I think that's a really important point, Daphne. I'm actually going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to shift over to the sponsor of today's episode, which is the Executive Institute on Inclusion, EII, and that was founded by our friend, right, and colleague, Susan Freeman. Shout out to Susan. Yep. So for those of you who don't know about EII, it is a unique and comprehensive DEI program that's really focused on systemic change. And sometimes companies, maybe they miss the mark on their comprehensive plans to create something that, you know, empowers employees and truly eradicates structural racism. And through this program, it's multi-month, it's multi-tier, and it provides data and metrics and measurement and messages and tools that help you to create change. So at EII, and we all know it's time, right? It's time for companies to invest in the relationships with their employees. So Daphne, you're perfect to discuss this because you actually have a couple of courses. One is on your four G's, but the other one at EII is See Me Too, the Diary of a Woman of Color in Corporate America. So maybe you just share a little bit about that course and the benefit.
Yeah. So the hashtag See Me Too, the diary of my corporate experience. Really, it embraces, and Susan is an amazing storyteller, as I'm sure you know, Deidre.
Yes.
It's really just finding a way to connect with the audience to share my story, right? In hopes that some of the challenges that I faced growing up in corporate America as a woman of color, and the way that I've chosen to educate those who might not be as awake, if you will, that we need them to be, to help them along their DEI journey, because it is a journey. And we can't assume that, again, that everybody understands that women of color, people of color, have different experiences in the workplace. So it's an opportunity to share my story and to give some guidance and some, these are some of the things that you can do to improve your culture. All right. Mm-hmm. And these are some of the things you should absolutely avoid so that you're not inadvertently stepping in it and, you know, creating a culture that is not comfortable for everybody.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty much what the course is about.
Sounds like a really, really good course and something that I hope everybody within Women Worldwide checks out. And I just want to thank you. Thank you for sharing your course. And a big thank you to Susan Freeman and Absolutely. The Executive Institute on Inclusion for sponsoring this episode of Women Worldwide. Okay, Daphne, let's dive back in. So we were talking about your four G's of leadership, finding your G-spot. Maybe you can share with us that aha moment. Was there an aha moment, or some people actually say it's an uh-oh
yeah.
moment, right? Where you had just a big learning lesson and it's stuck with you and what you do today.
Yeah. So actually, Deidre, I look at the aha and the uh-oh a little differently, right? So I've had a lot of aha moments. And for me, that's like, didn't know that. Good to know. The uh-oh is like, oh my gosh, I have got to make some changes here and get it together, right? So I think that it would be beneficial to share the uh-oh moment because I just know that it's going to resonate with some of the women, you know, listening to this segment. So the uh-oh moment is this. I think it's a sin that women commit all the time, and that's when we allow self-doubt. Right.
Oh, gosh.
If we allow self-doubt and anger show up in ways that are just not good for our brand in corporate America or whatever your workplace is. And so there have been times, unfortunately, in my career where I have allowed self-doubt and anger to take me off my game. Right. It's not healthy, ladies, but it happens. And the best advice that I can give you is to recognize that this is happening to you. Take a moment, not weeks, not days, to try to get it out your system. If you got to have one of those ugly cries, or you got to call up one of your friends, you got to curse somebody out, pound up against the wall, whatever it is, get it out your system. And remember that you are competent, that you have all the skills necessary in order to lead like you know how to. And then move on from it. Leave those fears, that self-doubt, those negative, whatever it is that you've been getting from someone who caused you to act that way. Put it behind you and remember that no matter the circumstance, show up and lead with excellence. So the uh-oh is kind of like, I recognize that I was allowing myself to almost get swallowed up. And showing up angry and with the self-doubt is just not a good way to show up, especially if you're a woman of color. You know, it just, I think, exacerbates how people perceive you.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you said this. I especially appreciate the recognize and do what you have to do and then sort of move on knowing that you're going to be competent and that you can do, you have the skills necessary. I don't know if you read the book, Robert Greene, I'm reading it now, The Laws of Human Nature, but he talks about the shadow. We all have a shadow that tends to come out in opportune times. And that shadow is based on something that we feel that we sort of repress, and it shows itself. But in order to move past that, you have to understand it. And that's why when you said to recognize and to look at that, that is so important, because just sweeping it under will only have that come out again.
Yeah. I have the book. It's very thick.
Very thick.
I haven't tackled it yet.
It's a really good book. And it also helps you to understand, you know, it is the laws of human nature when you were looking at leaders and different personalities. And I love to read business books. So this is one of them. But I also read a lot of inspirational and motivational and energy books about the laws of the universe. So this was one that I recommend. So maybe you'll take a look at it.
Yeah, I have it. I have the book. I'm reading How to Lead right now. Oh, and cool. That's next on my list. But it's a thick book.
Yes, it is.
But can I just piggyback off of the recognize it? Because listen, if you don't, somebody else will. Right. And I also encourage everyone to embank their own personal board of directors. Right. Because sometimes if you have others that are either mentors, mentees, sponsors, they may be able to help you see something that you can't see. All right. Because that recognition is so, so key, because other folks who might have decision-making authority over your career and its trajectory, if they recognize it, it might not be the right move for you and your career.
Exactly. That's a really, really good point. I wanted to ask you about learning in general, because you did point out that you learned so much from your grandfather. And I'm just curious to know, where are you learning? Where do you get your information from? Because, you know, in order to find your 4Gs or your G-spot and to be able to do training courses, you have to be on top of your game. So in terms of learning, you know, I know you're reading.
Yes, you all like the time.
The books.
Yep.
That's good.
So other sources for me, the books. The self-improvement books. I'm consumed with all things leadership these days. I have a personal board of directors that include a plethora of folks from diverse backgrounds, sponsors, mentors, even people that I mentor, my mentees. I learn a lot from my parents. They are the co-chairs of my personal board of directors, if you will. And here's something, Deirdre, that I think this is an easy source on how to learn, especially when you're focusing on leadership. I learn by being a humble listener. Right.
Yes.
I listen. Right. It's sometimes a challenge. Maybe I have a little bit of adult ADHD, but I'm really focused on listening in a humble way, because I think everyone's voice matters. And when you're trying to be a leader, humble listening allows you to listen and hear. And I embrace that everybody's voice matters. Right. As time consuming as that may be. You can learn a lot from listening from everybody, not to let anybody's voice be quelled, and to just embrace all that you can consume. And then I ask a lot of questions. Maybe it's the lawyer in me, but I find that asking questions and not being the know-it-all, just because I might be the leader, but a learn-it-all, if you will, so that I can consume all things to improve and to be better.
I really like to learn it all
versus the know-it-all, right? How about that?
Absolutely. I don't think I've ever heard that before. The learn-it-all. That's powerful, Daphne.
Yeah. Susan says all the time, she's got a phrase that she says.
Is it the band lead Bob Flex?
No, it's like you're here to win or learn, never lose, is what she says. And I think that resonates with me as well.
That resonates, definitely. You're an active listener. I mean, if you're not actively listening, then you wouldn't be asking the questions. Granted, you are a lawyer, and lawyers are good at asking questions, but you're probing, you're looking to hear, take it all in, diverse perspective. I mean, you know, I often wonder, how can organizations be innovative if you're not taking in all of the rich perspective around you? Right?
Yeah, I think active listening and humbly listening. Right? Yes. A humble listener, because here's I think, Deirdre, the difference is that active listening is great, but you got to be humble. You got to put yourself in a position and come to the table. Whereas I don't know the answer. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to tell you how to get it right. I'm here to figure out how to get it right. Right. So if you have that in mind, you'll be amazed at what you can hear and learn when you listen in that way.
Yeah. It's almost making every environment a classroom. In That's a sense. Right. I love that. I am a forever student. I think I hashtagged that on Twitter, forever student.
You were learn it all and didn't even know it. There you go.
Thank you, Daphne. So I can't even believe we're at the question in the show where I asked you to give your parting advice to the Women Worldwide Network. Daphne, what do you want to say just to round it all up and tied in a neat little package of bow?
Yeah, I wish we had more time. I felt like we were just getting into it, but listen, I'm an optimist. So, you know, my advice, I'm just warning you up front. It's all about knowing that women are amazing leaders. We have what it takes to lead in so many ways. So first off, know that you can lead. You got this. All right. Second advice is when you do lead, you know, do it with grace, grit, grind, gratitude, and X. Whatever your X is, mine happen to be 4 G's, yours could be whatever it is, but you got to do some reflective thinking and figure that out. And I encourage you all to look for your G spot or your C spot or your S spot, whatever it is for you. And then again, consult with a personal board of directors. You can't do it alone. As we all are superheroes, right? Women are superheroes. Superwoman, Wonder Woman, pick your Marvel character. But at the end of the day, we're all super women, but even super women need a little bit of help sometimes. So don't be afraid to ask for help. And just go do it. You know what's Nike's brand? Just do it.
Let's do it.
And if you need some help along the way, reach out to that personal board of directors or read a lot of books. I know that you have a partner in your trajectory with Deirdre. Reach out to her. You can reach out to me as well. Always happy to support. So that would be my advice. It's really just know you can do it and just, you know, find your spot and just do it. And the world will be a better place, as will corporate America or whatever your workplace is.
Yeah, with your advice, Daphne, the world would be a much better place.
We gotta keep trying, Deirdre.
Whether it's the G spot, that X, the C spot, the D spot, whatever. And I really do appreciate what you said about the personal board of directors. I hope all of our listeners and viewers understand that you don't have to do it alone. And you're right. That's why Women Worldwide is here.
That's right.
I'm here. You're here. So Daphne, last question. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
Yeah, I'm trying to do a little better job with my social media presence right now. LinkedIn is the best place to find me. I am not afraid to give out my personal email address or my Microsoft email address if you want to reach out. I'm at dforbes@microsoft.com, or you can reach out at Daphne, DAPHNESQ at outlook.com. And then you can find me on LinkedIn as well.
Terrific. Daphne, thank you so much for being on the show, for sharing your journey, your advice. We so appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It was a great time.
It was really good. It flew by. You'll have to come back.
I can't wait. Looking forward to
continue this discussion. And a big thank you to Susan Freeman, founder of the Executive Institute on Inclusion, who is the sponsor of this episode today. And I want to thank all of you for being here. Keep the feedback coming and the conversations going. You're helping us, and we hope you're being helped as well. And if you want Women Worldwide updates, you can go to womenworldwideshow.com and sign up to get updates weekly. Okay, friends, be well, stay safe, energized, and focused. Thank you.